Frontier Missions Journal. Stories of hope for the unreached with Adventist Frontier Missions.
Hello, mission friends. In today's episode, we will hear from Ali Nassar and his family who currently serve in the country of Turkey. This nation is the land where the early church made much of its progress during the first and second centuries. In fact, the seven churches mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are located within the borders of modern-day Turkey. Sadly, today fewer than 0.01% of its population are Christians. With a population of 76 million, this makes Turkey one of the least reached countries on earth. Islam is the predominant religion of this society, while secularism still holds a stronghold in the ruling elite. Despite its constitution guaranteeing religious freedom, Christians are frequently persecuted. Further, public meetings such as church services require great effort to gain approval from the government, and public proselytizing is prohibited. Still, we know that with God, anything is possible, a premise clearly revealed in today's episode. Ali Nassar will present three stories for us that consist of some challenging, funny, and miraculous situations.
My name is Ali Nassar. I have been working with the Turkey Project for the past 11 years with Adventist Frontier Missions. The story I would like to tell you today is called Helping on the Fly. Can you please help me? I don't know what to do. The woman's cries for help were ringing in my ears. I pulled my car over to park at the grocery store parking lot. The air was sweltering. My schedule was busy this past summer, and I didn't have time to help someone else. However, I knew that I should. As I walked around the bushes toward the car, I noticed that it was a Mercedes-Benz S500 series, the fancy, upscale kind. Above the license plate was written Beverly Hills. Looking at the vehicle, I knew this was no ordinary car. So, I expected to see someone of importance. "Hello, ma'am. Are you okay? Can I help you?" As she rolled down her window, I heard the barking of her little dog inside the car. There were food crumbs all over the floor. The woman was dressed with spaghetti straps and tattoos covered her body. She was gaunt and distressed and stranded in the middle of the street trying to start her car. I breathed a silent prayer to my Heavenly Father for wisdom about what to do. "I just ran out of gas and called my husband, but I don't know when he's coming," she said. "Stay in your car and put the gear in neutral. I will push you out of the middle of the street." By this time, multiple cars were gathered behind us as I motioned for them to go around. I felt like a complete fool, pushing a swanky Mercedes in the middle of the road. Setting my ego aside, I sweated profusely under the hot summer sun, pushing the heavy car to the curb on the other side of the street. A verse came to mind, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Matthew 25:40. I went to the closest gasoline station and bought a container of gasoline. Convinced it was the right thing to do despite how busy or embarrassed I was. This person needed help, and I could assist her with that. I poured the gasoline down the car's tank. It immediately roared back to life. "Sir, here, please take some money," she said. No, it's not necessary," I replied. "Thank you so much for helping me." "You're welcome," I responded. With that, she drove away, and I have never seen her since. Reflecting on that experience, I wish I had been bolder for Jesus. I wish I had said something more profound. But even though I didn't, I still hope that my actions spoke for Jesus.
And now for our second story.
My second story is about a time when I was more bold. I call my second story the unnerving but validating interview. Went the chime of the doorbell at my gate. "Hello, welcome," I said to the two police officers as I swallowed nervously.
"Ooh.
We came to see who you are and where you live. May we come in?" "Yes, please come in," I said, assuming congeniality and welcoming them into my courtyard. Truthfully, I am wary whenever the police show up at my door. Upon entering, they looked around the yard and asked a few questions. "Who are you? Why are you here? Do you have a family? What's your work?" That last question always makes me nervous because I cannot tell them that I am a missionary. In Turkey, espionage and being a missionary are considered of equal weight and penalty. I tell them truthfully that I am a photographer, which seems to satisfy them. "Come to the police station this evening with your wife," they told me. "Okay," I say, agreeing to their request. "I will come with my wife and children. We will all come," I reassure them. Later that evening, our family arrived outside the police station. We felt tense. We did not know what to expect. My stomach was full of butterflies. However, before we went in, we prayed that God would direct our conversations and help us not to say things we should not. An officer sat behind the desk. I explained to him my situation and that we were asked to come. He seemed cordial enough. A few minutes later, another officer walked in and then a third. They asked the usual questions, then started talking to our children. It seemed that they were a little disarmed, judging by their nervous smiles. Our girls answered their questions politely. Finally, the commander entered and asked Nina and me more grueling questions, such as, "Why did you come to Turkey? And where do you get your money?" We answered respectfully. After a few more questions and reviewing our records on his database, the commander lightened up, seeing that we did not have a criminal record. He seemed satisfied. Somehow the fact that we are vegetarians came into the conversation. He admitted that he used to avoid meat, but then the doctor told him to start eating meat for protein. I did not dispute him, although this is a common myth. He saw that my girls were reading Turkish books, so he went over to look. Between the disarming behavior of the girls and the conversation about healthy eating, the entire atmosphere in the room changed, and we all started to laugh about eating chicken. I told them that we do not eat pork, and they asked why. I said it was for two reasons, because of our religion and because of our health. In the end, the local police registered us and told us to call them if there were any more problems. Reflecting on this experience, I am so grateful that I can speak Turkish and that my children attend the local Turkish schools. This experience has validated us and given us credibility in the culture. I am assured of God's call for me to be here and for our family to remain.
And now for our final story.
As I shared with you the story of my girls having interactions with the police and softening their hearts, my children have also had opportunity to share the truth, share the light, to share the love of Jesus with their school friends. I call this story Answered Prayers. This school year has been unusual. Worldwide COVID-19 has affected students in different ways with restrictions placed on face-to-face education. Our three daughters attend a local Turkish public school, so we have been on the educational roller coaster since March 2020 when our COVID-19 restrictions first began. We have faced various challenges. Authorities announced many decisions at the last minute, which makes planning next to impossible. We have been through a variety of class schedules. The vast majority of the girls' education this school year has been online, and classes have become more efficient as both teachers and students have become accustomed to the online platform. One of the drawbacks with online instruction and the heavy use of technology, however, has been in the ability of teachers to reach into our very lives whenever they desire. This has led to some classes being scheduled on Sabbath. When this happens, I message or call their teachers to let them know that the girls will not be attending. Naturally, we spend a lot of time praying that their teachers will not teach classes on Sabbath. Hannah is now in the fifth grade, which is considered middle school in Turkey, and is attending a new school this year. Several times throughout the school year, I have visited with the principal or had conversations with her instructors to submit special requests regarding our faith. While the thought of each conversation makes us wonder how it will turn out, God has blessed us in incredible ways. The first request with the principal was that he excused her from the religion class. The principal did not even ask me any questions about why. The second time I went to see him was to request that she not participate in classes on Sabbath. That started a discussion of the Sabbath and what we believe as Seventh-day Adventists. Most recently, Hannah's social studies teachers scheduled a makeup class on Sabbath. He had done this in the previous school year and at that time had kindly sent Hannah a recording of the class she missed. This time, after we messaged him that Hannah would not be attending on Sabbath, he wrote back something that truly surprised us. He said, "Of course, your class time is normally during the week. We won't do class without you, Hannah." Then he wrote a message in the group chat for Hannah's class saying that they would do their makeup classes on a day other than Sabbath. So we were totally thrilled. As we look back on this school year, there have been many conversations that we felt uncomfortable having, but we are thankful that God has been with us, answering our prayers to help us honor the Sabbath. We pray that our discussions have caused others to ponder the Sabbath in a way that they may not have done had they not come in contact with us, the little foreign family living in Turkey.
Ollie and his family truly showed the character of God to the people they came in contact with. Please keep them in your prayers as they continue to reach the people of Turkey and teach them about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his soon coming, where he will take us all to our heavenly home. Thank you for listening to Frontier Missions Journal. To hear more frontline stories from our missionaries, subscribe to our podcast, Frontier Missions Journal, on your favorite podcast app. You may also visit our website at afmonline.org and select resources from the top tab, then choose audio. While you're there, why not see what it takes to become a missionary yourself? There is truly a great need to share the gospel with the unreached. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Join us again next time. God bless.